Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri, this is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C-plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
All right, hello everyone. I'm back on the air. Skipped a day. Had a lot going on. Actually doing taxes. You know how that is. Yeah, right? Yeah, that put me in a real good mood. Doing taxes. There's nothing more exciting than doing taxes. And I do my own because it's pretty simple. So nonetheless, a lot of work involved. A lot of receipts. Oh my God. Just goes on and on. Not telling you anything. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But I am going to bring this up and I'm going to bitch for a minute. Okay. I'm going to complain. This is my soapbox. And I got a few things to say about humanity in general. And it's local, by the way. And you'll know what I'm talking about when I get to this. We've had some weather here in the last few days. Actually, going on 4 days, 4 or 5 days. It's very depressing. We've got overcast skies. And typically in the morning, there is no sun. Fog like you cannot believe. I mean, fog's so bad. I've driven in worse. My track, you know, when I was driving a truck, I've driven in worse, but it's been very few times. And it's been really, really thick here lately. We were out, what is today, Thursday? We were out Tuesday night, and it was so bad, you couldn't see, I'd say 10, 12 feet in front of your headlights. It was really bad. So anyway, what I'm getting to here in a roundabout way is, who in the right mind drives a vehicle? Now, this is in the morning, of course. The sun is not officially coming up, but it's getting lighter out. But you still have fog. You can't see. The vast majority of people have their headlights on. There is a segment of society who thinks that that is either unnecessary, or they're too stupid to realize that they need to have their lights on. It should be, it's against the law. I know it is, but you can't pull over 50 people. You just can't. I don't understand it. If you drive, and I'm sending this out to you and all your friends, if it's possible, mention it to them. If you drive your car in the fog, and let's say you're driving a gray car or a silver car or a white car, or even a black car for that matter, and you're driving without headlights on, you're a moron, all right? You're a simpleton. Your IQ is below 100 considerably. Either that or you just don't care. And I know what people are going to say, well, I can see fine. That's true. But that's just part of the equation. The other part of the equation is the other drivers need to see you. See, so right away, I'm suspect about your IQ and your ability to think rationally. I really am. So I've had it with people like that. I want to pull every one of them over and just lambaste them for being stupid because they're putting themselves in jeopardy safety-wise, and you're putting the rest of the public in jeopardy. There's a reason you see tractor trailers going down the highway in July when it's 105 degrees out and they've got their lights on. It's so they can be seen. That's exactly why. It has nothing to do with them being able to see in front of them. And if you can't make that connection and understand that, you're a moron. I don't know how else to put it. So, all right. I've had my say today. That really irritated me to no end. And it happens on a daily basis. It happened again this morning. I was taking the kid to school, and I counted at least 12 cars that did not have headlights on. And it was foggy, and it was dark. So, I mean, it was, you know, gray, you know, so anyway, okay, I'm done with that. Here's what I want to talk about today. And this is the most important thing I've talked about in quite some time. We're talking about the 2024 election. Today is 2 days after the New Hampshire primary. Donald Trump won decisively in New Hampshire. We're not going to revisit that. He won decisively. We're finding out more and more that more Democrats crossed over party lines in order to vote for Nikki Haley. So it made his victory even more decisive. And that's a wonderful thing. I think Donald Trump should be president in November. I think he should be the 47th president of the United States. I think it would be the best thing for the country. Now, we're going to get into that. I also want to preface this by saying I am not a Trump acolyte, okay? I am not one of those, I don't know if you know anything about Elon Musk, but there are people out there, they call them Musk rats. They have an inability to see anything negative about their hero. They will not accept anything negative about their hero, and they actually have delusional thoughts about their hero, Elon Musk. I've seen it. I love researching that guy because that's going to become a big story at some point. I don't know when in the future sometime, you and I will be revisiting this. Because you know, if you've listened to me at any length of time, you know I'm not a fan of Elon Musk. Again, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. Because I've said it before, I'll say it again. He has the broken clock syndrome. He's right twice a day. And in the instance of X, or formerly Twitter, he was correct about that. Free speech is the linchpin. It's of this republic. You have to have that. It has to be available to everyone. And he's correct about that. I'm not saying that he is wrong about everything, but I'm not going to get into that because that's another road we don't want to go down right now. All I'm saying is there are people who believe everything he says. Lock, stock, and barrel. No matter what it is, they believe he's wonderful. Same thing with the Trump crew. There are people who are MAGA, people who are absolutely sold on this guy, 100%. He can do no wrong. He's going to be the next president, yada, 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 right? Okay, having said that, I'm not one of those. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm in the middle somewhere. A lot of people refer to it as independents, independent, voters. That's fine. I mean, I don't even know if I'm like that. All I know is I vote for the guy based on what he's going to do for me and what I feel that he can do for the country so that we're all doing better, okay? And in this particular instance, it happens to be Donald Trump because we have no rival. We don't. Now, Ron DeSantis, since he's dropped out and he endorsed Donald Trump, I think he's a viable candidate in 2028. I do. Will I vote for him? Absolutely. I think he has the makings of another MAGA movement at some point. Now, does he have the passion? Does he have that charisma right now? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. I like the guy. I do. He'd probably be a great guy that you'll spend some time with. But as it stands right now, Trumper's our guy. Nikki Haley, absolutely not. She's an afterthought at this point. I saw one of her largest contributors has backed out, the guy that owns LinkedIn. He's not giving her any more money. Her days are numbered. This won't last long. I thought it'd be over today. And technically it is. Technically I'm right about that. She has no viable, path to victory. She's delusional. I used to think it was all an act. I really did. I thought Nikki Haley was doing this to further her future career in politics, or her future career as a commentator, a author. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Maybe she had her eyes on a Senate seat. Who knows? I have no idea. I thought the batshit crazy act was an act. I really did. I really did. I thought she's just doing this just to garner attention and make her the center of the focus, all that. I was wrong. She literally is batshit crazy because no one else would do this. No one else would have the insane thought process to go out and say that she's still got a shot at this. There's no way. There's no way she does. So she is. She's certifiable. She's delusional. Delusional, and it's actually it's probably measurable. If you had a psychiatrist look at her, he or she would probably say she's nuts. Yeah, and we need to medicate her. But nonetheless, Donald Trump, back to what I was saying. I'm sorry, I get off the beaten path occasionally. Donald Trump is my guy. He is my guy. I did not care for him at first when he first came into the political arena. I always thought he was a loudmouth. I never watched The Apprentice. I really didn't care. He was a billionaire. I've never been around a billionaire. I shouldn't say that. But you've been around people with money. Loud, bombastic. They think they know everything. That kind of guy. Never cared for him. But then Donald Trump started talking about things that were important to me. And he showed that his main focus would be on the betterment of, you know, America and the middle class. People who work for a living. People who own businesses. That kind of thing. And I was all over that. And he talked like I do. You know, he talks like I do. He's not one of these prim and proper kind of guys that weighs every word that he says. Having said that, we've reached a point right now that Donald Trump, Big Don's going to have to make some changes in my book. And if I was standing next to him or I knew him personally, I would give him some advice. You need to tone it down, Don. You really do. Your off-the-cuff remarks, your mean tweets, your smart-ass responses, that worked in 2016. It did. And it actually worked in 2020, as far as I'm concerned, to some degree. It had been diluted down somewhat. He had thought about this, and he knew. I don't know if somebody had given him some advice then as well, but he had toned it down somewhat. Now, you, Don, me and Don are talking now, okay? Don, here's the deal. You can't piss off half of America. You can't. And what I mean by that is you can't go after people. You can't look like a bully. What do I mean by that? When Nikki Haley gives a speech and you make fun of her dress she's wearing or her looks or whatever, you come off as a bully. That's not helpful. The female voter base is not going to think that's funny. Not a good idea. He made fun of her dress the other night. He went after her. During his acceptance speech. Mistake. You've got Ramaswamy there. Send him on that errand. Make him do that. He's not trying to get elected. Not now. He's endorsed you. You are trying to get elected. You cannot go out and attack people. What you should have done that night, and again, this is me and Don talking. Say, Don, when you give your acceptance speech, mentioned two things. And this actually came from a friend of mine, and he knows who he is if he's listening to this. What you should do is say, hey, you're going to hear two acceptance speeches tonight. Believe mine. Okay? That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say. Without coming out and being hateful and childish, you could have said, hey, dismiss her. And that actually is the thing, Don. Don, you need to ignore her. She's an afterthought. She's going to go away. She's like a dog barking in the distance. It's a little annoying, but you know it's going to go away at some point. Nikki Haley is not worth the time. You need to stand up in front of the American public and tell them what you're going to do for us. That's what you need to do. You need to sell that. You don't need to talk about what you did in the past. You can bring it up occasionally, but don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on your past achievements. Let someone else do that. You need to stand in front of me and the rest of America and tell us what you're going to do for us, what you have in store. Here's my plan. Pick out particular things. Talk about the southern border. I have no problem with that. How are you going to fix that? What are you going to do? And don't use big platitudes that you're going to fix it in 24 hours. He said that the other day about Ukraine and Russia. Don, you're not going to fix it in 24 hours. Be honest with us. We're not children. We understand it's going to take some time to solve that thing. Tell me how you're going to do that. That's what I want. And if you don't do that, we're in a lot of trouble. Because here, I'll tell you another thing. You came out against McEnany, your press secretary, because she was on Fox News and she criticized you. Be a man about it, okay? The last thing you want to be known as is a bully. That girl, well, I believe her name's Kelly McEnany. Yeah, yeah. First of all, she's attractive. She worked for you. I understand that. You love loyalty. I understand that fully. Ron DeSantis took some shots at you, too, when he was running against you. Now, all of a sudden, we're back to buddy-buddy, apparently. So, when Miss McEnany says something to you, she's on Fox News. She has a job to do. And people are saying, well, she's a traitor and she's this. No, no, you don't understand how this works. You're paid to do something. She's making a ton of money. It's probably over six figures. So she has to come out. And actually, her advice was spot on. He took exception with it. I listened to it. She was spot on. Again, Trump is not beyond being wrong. And he's petulant, too, by the way. He's a petulant child sometimes. You know, it's like sticking your tongue out at somebody in third grade. I mean, it's ridiculous. Don, and again, Don and I are talking. Don, quit acting like a kid. Quit acting like a child. Be an adult. Be an adult. What he should have done with Mrs. McEnany, and believe me, she was spot on. I listened to everything she said so far, and they said she criticized him before she got the job in 2016. That's probably true. I'm not saying it isn't, but to criticize someone in politics, that's just par for the course. What do you want her to do on Fox News? Pat him on the back and tell him how great a job he's doing? She actually did do that, but in that same paragraph, she said, what Mr. Trump needs to do is look under the hood. He had a great victory in New Hampshire and celebrate it. It should be celebrated. And she's right. It should be celebrated. That was quite a victory. It was a historical victory. Nothing wrong with that. But now you need to look under the hood. That's what you need to do. In the words of Ross Perot. You need to pop the hood and look under there and see what the problem is. Because we got some problems. There's a lot of people out there who can't stand you, Don. A lot of them. Now, your base is going to love you, no matter what you say. That base will support you to the ends of the earth. The problem is, that base is not going to get you elected in November. And folks, at the end of the day, and now I'm talking back to you people. Don and I, we're going to talk again, but right now I'm talking to you guys. Here's the thing, folks. We have to get him elected in November. We have to. Because Donald Trump right now, at this point, in this stage, in this election cycle, he is what I would say, I would compare him to chemotherapy. Okay? Say you've got stage 3 cancer and you're going in for chemotherapy. What do we all know about chemotherapy? Chemotherapy is a poison. Okay? It kills cells. It does. It makes you weaker. But the theory is, and it does work. I'm not saying it doesn't. I don't want to discuss that right now. That's a totally different subject. But nonetheless, at this point, it kills the cancer cells. The Democratic Party and the lunatic left, this woke movement, the shadow government, is a cancer on America. We're in stage 3. Maybe the beginnings of stage 4. Okay? We're in a lot of trouble. So the chemotherapy is Donald Trump. He comes in. Now, chemotherapy, again, as I said, is a poison. He's not the best. Okay? He's got his flaws. There are bad things about him. But we need him in order to kill this cancer. That's exactly what we need. Can we adjust the chemotherapy so that it's not quite as deadly? I think we can. Because at the end of the day, when everything's said and done, if you don't get elected, it doesn't matter what you say. If you don't get elected, we're all in a lot of trouble. America's in a tremendous amount of trouble. This could be probably the most important election in the past 100 years, if not longer. Probably since the 20th and the 21st century is probably the most important one. It will dictate where we go in the next decade. And if we don't win this, they're going to think that they have carte blanche and they can do anything they want. Right now, they think they can, for the most part. The Democrats in this country right now think that they can get away with anything. And they're actually kind of right. I firmly believe that when you've got the Department of Justice in your back pocket, you get away with murder. And I think some have. So, without getting elected, we accomplish nothing. So, no, in November, the first part of November, we have to get this guy in office. You and I agree on that. Okay, I'm back to talking to Don now. Don, here's the deal. You got to get elected in November. How do you want to get elected? How are we going to do that? You've got your base. It's a huge, huge amount of people. Your base is a huge amount of people. And on the flip side, you've got the Democrats who wouldn't vote for you if they were paid. Okay? Now, I think they're all, you know, uninformed, irrational. They're lunatics. They are bereft of any kind of political savvy. They can't see the forest for all the trees. It's they have this mentality of, you know, believe me, Joe Biden, not your lying eyes. They fall for it. They're weak in my book. They're uninformed and they're weak to some degree. Now, how do you get elected? Those camps are basically about the same size, give or take. Okay. But when you get into a electoral college kind of event, which is a one and out. This is it. This is the only one that has this. Dog catcher gets elected by a popular vote. President doesn't. He's the only one that doesn't have that happen. Senators get elected that way. Congressmen. Yeah, it has nothing to do. Electoral college, completely different ballgame. So you can lose by actually having more votes than the other guy. And that's happened. We all know that. So Don, here's the deal. You have to appeal to a real thin slice of voters. People in the middle. The independent voter. They call themselves independent, which I agree with. That's probably what I am. The undecided. You've got a group of undecided in there as well. You've got women. There's a group in that that's included in that group that are women. You have to coerce and convince those people to vote for you. Because without those people, you don't win. You don't win. And if any of that group, any of those three groups, and I'm talking about women, suburban women especially, some, you know, the cities or have that group in them as well. If you don't convince those people to vote for you, you lose in November. You do. There's no getting around it. That little sliver is the one that calls the shots in the world, in the country. They really are. And if you piss them off and they see you as a bully, as someone who is, I guess, a petulant child, they're not going to vote for you. They're just not going to. You cannot alienate these people. That's what you can't do. You have to get elected. Once you get elected, let's say you get elected in November. Okay. You get elected in November. I don't care what you do after that, Don. I really don't. You can become a dictator. You can. And I mean, I don't mean that literally. I mean, for that first week, you can fire everybody in Washington for all I care. I think that would probably be a great start. That would be a great way to do it. Fire the entire Justice Department. Rebuild it from the bottom up. Something like that. You can do anything you want once you're elected. The problem is you can't do any of this stuff unless you're elected. And you're going to have to appeal to a particular group of people in society that do not care for bullies. They just don't. They just don't. You can have quips. You can have great comebacks. But don't attack anybody. Don't do that. Especially when they're defenseless women. Because whatever you want to say about the, about women's rights and all that stuff, they still are the fairer sex. And when the vast majority of people out here believe that, and when you take a shot at one of them, Yeah, that's not a good idea. Now, you and DeSantis want to go toe-to-toe and throw punches? I got no problem with it. You and Biden, be my guest. I'd like to go toe-to-toe with him. I would. I've actually had dreams about punching him right in the face and then stomping him into the ground, maybe curb-stomping him. Yeah, I've actually had thoughts about that. So, where are we at here? You can't alienate people. You must talk about what you're going to do. That's what you have to do. Tell me what you're going to do. And you've done it. You've done it. But don't be outrageous. Don't use platitudes that you and I both know won't work. Don't tell me you're going to solve the Israeli Hamas situation or Palestinian situation in 24 hours. We all know that's not true. That's not going to happen. It just can't. You're not capable of that. Can you fix it in 3 months? Maybe. Can you fix it in a year? Chances are, if you put your mind to it. But don't tell me you can do it in 24 hours, because they're gonna make you eat those words. That's what's going to happen. Now, the interesting thing is, once you get elected, you don't have to get reelected. So you are pretty much given keys to the kingdom at that point. You're not looking for a second term at this point. You can't have one constitutionally. So that's good. That's good. But I just want to make sure are we straight on this, Don? You understand where I'm talking about? We need to tone it back a little bit. You know, I would say take the advice that George Costanza on Seinfeld took. You know, do the opposite of what you would do normally in situations like that. Someone badmouths you, instead of going after them and calling them, you know, little hands or, you know, ugly or whatever, don't do that. Don't do that. Compliment them. For instance, if McEnany, she criticized you, right? She criticized you and it hurt your feelings. Okay. Do the opposite. Don't attack her. Say, you know, Kelly, I think you're right. You worked for me for a long time. I will take that under advice. I will take your advice. I will look at it. I will pop the hood and we're going to take a look at this. You may be correct on that. That disarms them. That disarms them. It goes away then. Nikki Haley, just ignore her. Don't get into shouting matches with these people. It's a waste of time. And it's going to hurt you in the long run. So anyway, shifting gears here, what was I going to talk about? Oh yeah, the Supreme Court. I believe, from what I've done on my research, I have some evidence that the Supreme Court is being blackmailed. Now, the reason I say that is Amy Barrett and Roberts voted with the majority the other day on whether or not Texas could put up fences on their border. And they said that the Biden administration was right, so that those fences should be taken down. Why would that happen? Why would Barrett and Roberts side with that? Well, there's a distinct possibility, and I think there's a lot of evidence to that, that they are being blackmailed. And when I say blackmailed, I don't mean in the sense that they're going to go to jail or anything, that they've done anything illegal. What they have done is probably done things that look a little sleazy. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the salary that the Supreme Court justices get, it doesn't even support you in the city. I mean, in the city of Washington, D.C. The cost of living's too high. So they have to take advantage of their positions. And what do I mean by that? I mean, there are people in high places who have resorts at places, they have private jets, they have car services, just there's a multitude of things that they can do. And they can offer those services to the Supreme Court justices, okay? Maybe an invitation to play or have a country club membership at one of the exclusive country clubs around. Maybe that's part of it. It's not illegal. It's just kind of sleazy. But they all do it. And from what I understand and what I've read, it's allowed. It's actually kind of written into the bylaws of the Supreme Court. It's not the most upright thing to do, but I think a lot of them are taking advantage of it. So let's say you're on a jet and you're flying to, we leave DC, we fly down to Tampa, Florida for the weekend with a high dollar contributor to the Republican Party, or maybe even the Democratic Party, who knows? Have a great time, take the whole family, Doesn't cost you a dime. You fly back. On your way back, he says, hey, you know, there's a case coming up that you're going to be ruling on. And our guys would really like if you ruled, you know, one way or the other. And if you don't, you really wouldn't want this, the fact that I gave you a lift down here and you were at the country club, you wouldn't want that in the Wall Street Journal, now would you? Of course you wouldn't. So let's see if we can't just take care of that right now. It's an insignificant thing. Probably makes them millions of dollars. Not the Supreme Court justices, but the people who are involved. So the Supreme Court rules in a particular way. I mean, their vote means a lot. There's only 9 of them. That's what's going on right now. That's why I firmly believe that somewhere along the line, the powers that be know how important this open border is to them. This is an invasion of our country, and they want that to continue. It is actually fueled by, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this entire invasion is fueled and paid for by the UN through the State Department of the United States. It's an aid program that was put in place prior to Donald Trump becoming the president. He suspended it. It's called the Refugee Rescue Program. Okay. We fund 80% of that to the UN. When Donald Trump became president, he suspended that and did away with that particular program. Joe Biden, on the other hand, the minute he got into office, reinstated it. Now, how does it work? Well, the United States, through the State Department, gives the UN huge amounts of money. They, in turn, distribute it to NGOs. Now, if you don't know what an NGO is, it's a non-governmental organization. NGOs are owned, Bill Gates has them, all the high rollers do. And in this particular instance, Soros, George Soros, has an NGO that provides these refugees with debit cards, training, housing, transportation, clothes, all everything needed. He actually gets people, they find people in Africa, they give them money to fly to Central America or South America, and then they provide them with transportation to the southern border of the United States. That's how this works. I think it was last year, it was over $2 billion that Soros was given. He's the middleman. It's been going on for quite some time. But they've actually decided to really push it right now since Biden's in office. These are the globalists trying to take over the world. That's what they're doing. Yeah. When Trump disbanded this thing, we had a 95% drop in illegal alien crossings across Texas. Yeah. How about that? 95% drop. Now that's something you can brag about, Don. I'm back talking to Don now. Don, that's something you can talk about. You can brag about. And you could tell the American public how you're going to solve this problem once again. That's the way to do it. But nonetheless, this invasion, and I can't stress this enough. This invasion is actually funded with your tax dollars and my tax dollars through the UN, through the State Department to the UN, and then it's distributed to these NGOs to get these people to come to the United States. I couldn't believe it. When I started doing the research on this, I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is unbelievable. The US border has collapsed. We are being invaded right now by an army that it doesn't have guns at this moment, but if it had automatic weapons, it would be considered completely different. What they want to paint a picture of is a destitute Guatemalan family of 4. Father's a hardworking man, comes in tattered clothing, woman's pregnant, okay, let's say, you know, She's walked thousands of miles to get here. They're tired. They're sweaty. They stink. They just made it. They were just made it to the United States. They're starving. They need water. The kids are destitute. They have no shoes on. That's what they want to portray. That's what they want to show you. They want to try to tell you this group of people, this is what it represents. And it doesn't. It doesn't at all. I've seen these groups coming across. They're all young men of military age, wearing better clothes and better shoes than you and I got. So what's that tell you? From what I understand, they're getting debit cards that have between $1,000 and $5,000 a piece on them. They're being handed that to use in the United States when they get here. We are being invaded, folks. Texas is trying to take a stand now. The Supreme Court ruled that the border of Texas is actually, in essence, controlled by the federal government, even though it's Texas border. Now, you get into the 10th Amendment. If you read the 10th Amendment about states' rights, it's absolutely flawed. That can't be true. But somehow or other, they got to Ms. Barrett and Mr. Roberts because they knew the left was going to side with them. It was going to be a split decision at best. There was one person that made a difference here. Instead, it ends up being a 5-4 decision. Yeah, because otherwise, if Roberts had done what he's actually his duty, and Miss Barrett had, it would have been seven to two, or six to three. But no, they needed this. So they probably used their power, the shadow government, the SG, the shadow government of the world, used their power to basically convince these people. They didn't technically blackmail them, but they convinced them that this may be the way to go. And it's going to be devastating in the United States. It really is. Now, what is going to happen in Texas? I don't know. This could be very, very serious. If the National Guard's down there, I've heard Florida is going to join in. Is either South Dakota or North Dakota is getting involved in it. There's going to be more states get involved in this. They're going to offer their services to the Texas National Guard to guard that border down there. They're going to put up razor wire. Hard telling what else they're going to do. In direct violation of the Supreme Court's ruling, the federal government, especially with this numbskull we've got in the office, the Democrats are just howling at the top of their lungs right now. They want Biden to step in and get this settled. They want that border open. Now, how's he going to do that? The only way he could do that is to send boots down there, boots on the ground. And folks, that's when it gets scary. If you've got National Guardsmen who are their oath is meant to not only the Constitution, but to their home state. You get into a pissing match with the U.S. military on American soil, that's going to get really bad really quick. And it could. It could end up, I'm not saying a full-blown civil war, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, what they want to do is they want to turn Texas blue. How are they going to do that? They can't do that in this election cycle. But they want these people coming in to stay in Texas for the most part. That's why they're so upset about these people being bussed around the country, because that's not helping them. If you send people to New York City who ultimately will vote Democratic, that doesn't help the Democratic Party, because the state of New York, is going to vote Democratic anyway. What they need are these infiltrators into the Texas economy, into Texas society, so that, and I know they can't really vote just now, but that's going to change. I guarantee there's going to be a push in the coming months because, Biden's on his way out. There's no doubt about it. We'll talk about that maybe in another segment. Biden's on his way out. So his parting shot during, I think personally, if you ask me, it's going to be during the State of the Union. He's going to ask the people in Congress to fast track at least 10 to 20 million refugees are illegal, and I underline that part, illegal aliens to become U.S. citizens. They want these votes. They want to produce and manufacture a voting contingency that is, it's going to be tough to counter. It really is. And they would love it to be in Texas. They would love these people to stay in Texas, because not only if they get citizenship or the ability to vote in Texas, their next generation, these people are coming in, they're going to have children. They will be a voting segment as well, because 9 times out of 10, you vote like your mom and dad do, especially when you're young. So there will be this large segment of lefty voters, Democratic voters, inserted artificially into the Texas area down there. That will change the entire complexion of that state if this is allowed to happen. And suddenly, if you don't have Texas, you don't win an election from this day forward. You will not see a Republican back in the White House ever if that happens. It's like when people talk about doing away with the Electoral College. The Electoral College was put into place to make sure that smaller states had some representation, had some decision, had some pull on who was elected president. Because if you did not have the Electoral College, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. I want to make sure everybody knows this. So the next time you're at a party or you're across the table from somebody who's a Democrat and you're having dinner and they bring up the Electoral College, I want you to take this and use this as ammunition. If in fact the Electoral College was abandoned tomorrow, let's just say we decided to do away with it. From that day forward, California and New York and Illinois, those three states would decide the president in every election cycle. There would never be another Republican in office, ever, ever again. The populations are too large. It would be all about popularity. It would all be about the popular vote, nothing else. North Dakota, Delaware, Florida, Texas, they would have absolutely no say in it whatsoever, because you would not be able to garner enough votes to overcome those three states. It would be impossible. That's where the vast majority of people live. Can't do it. Can't do it. That's why we cannot allow that to ever happen. Don't let anybody ever kid you about that. I mean, to do away with that would be, I'm seeing death blows right now to the Republic. I am. Ask yourself and ask anybody you know, do you have more freedom today than you did 10 years ago? How about this? Do you have more freedom today than you did 25 years ago? Assuming you're that old. Believe me, folks, it gets chipped away. It's like sanding a piece of wood. And you don't really see anything coming off. It's over a period of time. And that's what they're doing right now. They're using a piece of sandpaper on the Constitution, and your rights are the dust that's falling into the floor. Yeah. 25 years ago, we had a lot more. We did. Nobody talked about the Second Amendment. That was just a given. That existed and it always would. I mean, I remember going to school and kids, guys I knew, had rifles on their rack in their pickup truck. Nobody said a word. No, because you were free to have that. Nowadays, they'd call the cops. There'd probably be a SWAT team there. Yeah, and you'd probably be arrested for what? I don't know. It could be any number of things. They could make you a terrorist. Our freedoms are being taken away from us. There's a possibility in the near future I won't be able to do this, to say what I want to say. The Democrats and the shadow government would love to shut people like me down. And it's not like I'm that big. What I'm saying is, the fact that I'm not that big, they would still be coming after me. You know, the Joe Rogans of the world and people like that, believe me, they would love to shut him up. They would. That's why they're going after Elon Musk right now, because of Twitter. I mean, he was the golden boy for years, for decades. Now all of a sudden they're saying he's no good. And the FTC is going after him. That's a whole nother story. But the point is, you can be a hero one day. I mean, look at Donald Trump. He was the talk of the town in New York City. Everybody wanted to be seen with him. I've seen hundreds of pictures with with politicians from the Democratic Party with their arm around him, with their, you know, big smiles on. Black community, big smiles on. Don King, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all with their. But boy, he turned Republican. Suddenly, he is a dog. Yeah. So, anyway, that's all I got today. I just wanted to share that with you. I had to get that off my chest, especially about the fog, because that's something that, I mean, happens to you on a daily basis. The southern border and Donald Trump's, it seems to be his reflex action. And I know a friend of mine told me, he said, you're not going to change that. That's who he is. And that's true. That's true. But, you know, a lot of people have bad habits. Thing is, you need to work on them. And this is, in this particular instance, I think that's the thing to do. Start working on it, Don. Don't be a crybaby. Go after him. Go after him like a gentleman. You can still be a smartass. You can do that. There are ways to do that. I've seen it done. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got today. Thank you for listening. I'm really going to put my nose to the grindstone and do these, you know, on a regular basis. I really am. At some point, I may start charging a little bit for it, just to give me something to, put in my pocket and show like maybe it's worth it. That kind of thing. It's not going to be anytime soon, but eventually that probably will happen. So just give you a heads up. And if you really like what I'm doing and you enjoy it, and maybe I strike a chord every once in a while, be sure and pass it along to somebody you know. Say, hey, you want to listen to this guy? You know, he's crazy, but he may be right. So anyway, that's all I got today. It is the, what is it? The 25th? Yeah, it's the 25th of January, and Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. Let's go, Brandon.
As always, thanks for listening to the Average Joe podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.averagejoenation.media and follow us on social media. Remember, if you haven't told all your friends, you're wrong.